You're listening to DraftKings Network. Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger, and you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Yo! All right, look at this.
I should have done like, cheerio!
Hello, everybody. Yes, look at this. It's a podcast exclusive, a new venture, a new journey.
Damn. Yo, really sold it. That's right. Yo, we're talking Premier League. Why? Because, yo, the Brits need love, too. And so do Euro snobs. You know what I mean?
Brits need love. Brits need dentists. They need it all.
they need sun to give them one day of sun.
No, hello, everybody. Yes.
We're talking, already talking presently. Boom.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. Yes. So our TV show is on hiatus for 2 weeks. There are Fubo TV is going on vacation, a much needed vacation. But the podcast
TV show went to Kilimanjaro to find themselves. They're going to drink ayahuasca. Through. I don't know what the show's called.
Ayahuasca or ayahuasca?
I don't know. It's probably ayahuasca, bruh.
Yes. So, yes, we are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer podcast that you have ever listened to.
It's like you said soccer. You heard us, Premier League fans?
Yes.
And it's not just the funniest soccer podcast. It also happens to be the gulliest.
Correct. So, the soccer Premier League is going to be the focus today.
Already we've upgraded the Premier League. Look at that.
So, like I was mentioning, we've mentioned this in the past. You know, a lot of people are like, yo, I don't really watch anything besides the Premier League. Why don't you talk about the Premier League a little bit more? So this is this is our appeasement to those people. So
finally, this is our way of saying, please leave us alone. Okay. So, clearly, look, we have an Everton fan. He's wearing the Everton hat. I am an Arsenal fan, and as an Arsenal fan, I hate the team. That's what we're supposed to have. You know?
That's how it works.
Yeah, dude. No one hates Arsenal more than Arsenal fans. Even Tottenham guys are like, relax. Buddy, you're taking it too hard on your own team there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Tottenham fans are like, you know, for us, it's just a strong dislike. I don't understand how.
You're getting hemorrhoids. You hate this team so much. You're going to pop a hemi.
Yeah, man. And Arsenal, they've been having definitely a roller coaster of a. Just ever since the Premier League made its return. I mean, you know, losses, wins, almost upsets. So it's at the very least been pretty entertaining.
I think being an Arsenal fan, right, you went into COVID undefeated in 2020. And I know everyone's like, wait a minute, the season starts in September. We off that. this is the apertura and the clausura now. Right? And in the clausura, we was doing great, okay? For those of you who don't know, if you really are only a Premier League fan, a lot of other leagues, especially Latin America, split up the season between the fall and the beginning of the next year. That said, if you look at Arsenal after coming back, like it's been, I don't even want to say it's topsy turvy. It's just, it seems like Unai Emery is still in charge of the team.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I think
you would. We got demolished. We lost. Brighton did the double on us, dog. Do you have any idea how embarrassing that is? And I say yes, because you're an Everton fan.
I know about embarrassing, results from time to time. But
Brighton beat you at home and away? That's wildly embarrassing.
I mean, Brighton is not some pushover.
Yes, they are. Literally everything you're about to say, they are.
I would not say that. I think they have. Look, I mean, the teams that are essentially from like 12 to 20 on the table, we know their approach when they play anyone else. It's like, let's defend, you know, Brighton, Burnley, Southampton, they all kind of have a very similar strategy. Is like, let's just survive another year in the Premier League.
Bro, Brighton is 15th. Like, if it wasn't for that win, they'd kind of, maybe not really, but they'd kind of be in a struggle for relegation. You know what I mean? They'd be within the relegation zone.
Yeah. You know math, Alexis. You understand?
Well, then, okay, well, now that my head hurts from doing that math, they're at 33. Bournemouth is at 27. So if you take away that Arsenal win, that's 30 points. They're essentially within a three-point window of relegation. And that's the team that did the double against Arsenal. So yeah, as an Arsenal fan, we have the right to bitch about that, regardless of the fact you're like, oh, but they played defensive. Who cares? We're supposed to be better than that. And in the FA Cup, we just about beat Southampton. Just about. We needed a late winner from a substitute. And a guy who looks like he's definitely trying to bang your mom, okay? Danny Ceballos.
Look, he's handsome. I mean, you won and oh, you're not going to...
Just look at that hair. It didn't even move. The guy was running, and it doesn't move.
Look, your mom could be with somebody worse, is all I'm saying.
I mean, she did choose worse, for sure. I mean, at least this, if the Danny Ceballos was like that, yeah. At least I get to see him once a week.
Your existence is the example of your mom making poor choices, so...
No, 100%. Yeah. And what I hope is I'm somewhat like him just to annoy her even more. But I think we should start. Let's stop talking about Arsenal for a hot second. We'll get to Arsenal. I think we should obviously start by congratulating Liverpool. They won the league. Well-deserved. What are they, two wins away, essentially?
You can congratulate Liverpool, yeah. Okay?
No, I'm trying to keep the pain here, okay? Liverpool, I think, was the most dominant team I've seen since City had that run where they essentially won the league, like 6 weeks in? Remember that?
Yeah.
But so the arguments now, right? Jordan Klopp. Jurgen Klopp. I just made him super English. Jurgen Klopp, right? Everyone was like, oh, he doesn't win anything. He's not that great of a coach. He's not that great of a manager. Well, he won the Champions League, and now he won the domestic title, right? Take that, and you take Pep Guardiola. And who's the last great manager in the Premier League? You probably have to say Mourinho, right? So out of those three, if you were starting a club today, who would you rather have? Would you start it with Pep, Klopp, or Mourinho?
If I was starting one today, I would have to go with Pep. I think Klopp is definitely he's already proven to be a world-class manager, and obviously in these 4 years that he's been there, he does something to motivate teams that I think is kind of unmatched. And I think that when it comes to hyping up,
you're talking about Pep or Klopp?
Klopp. I'm giving a compliment to Jurgen Klopp because I do think what he has done is incredible. But when it comes to straight up consistency, everywhere he goes, every team having a clear system, knowing what players immediately fit in that system, I'm going to have to go with the track record of Pep Guardiola. I don't see why. I mean, again, I think
go ahead.
The new hot trend is Jurgen Klopp, of course. What he's been able to do this year is unbelievable. And whether it's, you know, last year winning Champions League, but being in the finals 2 years in a row, says a lot about the character of Liverpool, the club and their players. And not all of them are, you know, everyone hasn't been, you know, Trent and Alexander-Arnold, you know, look, if Jurgen Klopp doesn't go to Liverpool, I don't think Trent Alexander-Arnold has the same career that he's having right now. So I think he's definitely done something to that degree to kind of inspire and motivate players. But Pep is just Pep, man. I mean, you saw when Arsenal played against City.
All right.
I mean, look, right. Dude, it's just that
we don't have to bring it up.
They're so good. Everybody's just like on board. It's not to say that Manchester City doesn't have its weaknesses, but bro, it's unreal.
Manchester City definitely has weaknesses, but generally it's when Pep Guardiola's system collapses. if the machine is running the way Pep wants it to run, it's unstoppable, yeah. right? Jurgen Klopp, I think, in a very similar way, but the difference is that he makes players better. You know, Pep Guardiola has to find players that fit in his system. Now, look, Kun Agüero is going to get goals regardless of where he is, but if he's in a system where he's constantly getting fed balls in perfect position to score, he's going to be an even better player. Jurgen Klopp, Trent Alexander is one good example. Dude, Jordan Henderson looks good. And look, I mean, Jordan Henderson is an incredible, that's first of all, the captain. I get it. He's an incredible sort of leader. But I would put his leadership above his footballing skills, right? His footballing skills are kind of, I mean, we know who he is. You know what I mean? Like, if he were up for sale, I wouldn't want him on Arsenal. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, he's not a flashy player by any means, but every squad.
Not flashy. I would almost go to say he's not a great player. I don't think he's a great player. I think he fits a system, and I think he also rises to occasions.
I mean,
but I wouldn't in a vacuum.
It's a stretch to be like he's not a great player because that's too.
It's not a stretch.
It's too vague. It's too vague.
Find me what's a Jordan Henderson highlight? What is a Jordan Henderson highlight? Him heading the ball and him yelling after scoring. That's a Jordan Henderson highlight. The dude's not doing anything special. He's kind of a throwback. You know what I mean?
But you need those guys on a team to succeed.
What I'm saying is, Jurgen Klopp took that and made him great. He made him good enough to be the captain of a side that's not only won Champions League, but also won the Premier League. So he deserves some credit. I think I can't forget. Remember when Toure was so mad about him not getting the birthday cake?
I don't remember this. No,
this was a while back. Yeah, this was like right at Pep Guardiola's, at the beginning of Pep Guardiola's like reign. He was upset that he didn't get a birthday cake. And then if you do some research, it turns out he was like, it was bigger than that. Like Pep doesn't care about his players as much. He was like being like, and I'm pretty sure I'm remembering this. It could have been a different situation, but I do know he forgot to get his cake. Anyway, look, they do never get a cake.
How dare he? I mean, look at this. I mean, the disrespect towards, you know, one of your players. I mean, yeah.
But remember, there were talks about him coming to NYCFC because he didn't get a fucking birthday cake. You know, and we were like, yeah, Pep, stop giving people birthday cakes.
This is the last straw. I will
not. Connected. If I've ever somehow connected to a soccer player more, it's a guy who didn't get what he thought he deserved food-wise and decides, I'm out of here. But the guy didn't get his birthday cake. And then after that, it was like all these talks about how Pep doesn't really care about his players. Like, he uses them as pawns. He'll lie to his players to get them to go along. Like, that kind of stuff, which maybe that's part of man management. But Klopp is beloved. Even people who hate Liverpool love Klopp.
I agree. Yeah, I'm one of those people. I you know, you. I think a lot of people would, after seeing all the interviews he's done, seeing like the press conferences, he is an incredibly empathetic man. That's the best sense I get. Even when
he's dancing around in tidy whities after you win, that's what you want.
But even when like coronavirus started, a lot of the reporters were asking questions about like, how is this going to affect football and what do you think and all this stuff. And he's like, football is the last thing on my mind. I'm focused on people's health, and they're more important questions that I cannot answer. I'm just basing all my knowledge on the information I'm getting. So it's when you hear stuff like that, I'm like, oh, the dude is a rational human being that understands that soccer is not going to solve every single problem that we have. So, yeah.
Meanwhile, Mourinho would say it was a conspiracy, you know, against his team winning. Mourinho is the Trump of the Premier League, right?
The Trump? I mean, no, that's a bit of a stretch because he's not.
No, self-involved. He called himself the special one.
Okay.
Right? He said he calls other people, Arsene Wenger, the master of failure, right?
Okay.
I think he's the closest thing to Trump in the Premier League.
He has definitely Trump-isms, but without the you know, the being a straight up bigot. So that helps.
Well, look, I'm not calling Mourinho a bigot. I don't know him personally, right? But what did you know? He said the reason he gets hired for jobs is because he wins. Trump, when he was trying to get elected the first time, he kept saying you're gonna win so much you're gonna be tired of winning. I don't know. I think as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, yeah. All this America winning is exhausting, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when we start, dude, it's going to be great. But I think, dude, I think I figured it out. I think Mourinho, personally, the reason I say all this is to say I would rather have Klopp as my manager. If Arsenal was looking for a manager right now and it was between Mourinho, Klopp, and Pep, a lot of fans would go Pep because his system seems to fit. First of all, I mean, we kind of got Pep light already by having Mikel Arteta, but it seems like his system fits the Arsenal style. But I personally would rather go for someone like Klopp.
So you would, you would be okay with Arsenal really changing their style of football that they've played the last 20, 25 years?
They already have. If you look at it, they already have. They're already way more direct than they used to be. It's not just the 4-2-3-1. I mean, they're already changing things. I think now we're doing more of a 4-3-3, and I know it sort of morphs. I would love a three-person back. I know we tried it. Again, it's the only way David Luiz even looks good, okay? He looked kind of good. It was so frustrating because I'm just waiting. I was like, go ahead, Luiz it up, baby.
Let me down, buddy.
Come on. You know you're going to do it. It's like a poor kid wakes up at Christmas, and what he's doing, go smokes a cigarette. There's no gifts. You know what I mean? Knows it already. You know? Just a 9-year-old out there. Smoke this thing.
He's like, yeah, he's like, I don't expect much out of Kringle, all right?
Yeah. Let me guess. I made the bad list to get it. Not bad for a 9-year-old.
Oh my god. So look, yeah, I would you know, as a new, you know, I'm not a fan of Arsenal, but I like watching them. Definitely the Arsenal of old, you know, even old like 5 years ago, you know, you have those incredible highlights with between those link up plays between Ozil, between Giroud, Ramsey, like just like when it comes to you know, Arteta, like there's amazing quality and just a fun style of play that they really haven't recreated in quite a while.
All of Arsenal's success, I think, comes in two waves. One, it begins with Arsene Wenger making changes. And a lot of people have said this. I'm not the first one. Everyone's like, yo, Arsene Wenger was the first one to figure out you could use black players. You know what I mean? Like, the English were like, what? No.
Hold on. Wait, is this allowed?
There's probably a rule against this. Some. I mean, let's just check the archives. It's a pretty old rule book.
They're like,
but he also brought it. Just get the dust off. I gotta look. It's written in quail. Quail feather, but we gotta like, I think he also changed the system. Like, I think, and Klopp did the same thing for Liverpool. When Klopp came in, their breakfast were still, the players were eating full English breakfasts. It's like, dog, you can't eat that if you're a professional soccer player. Leave that to us. Leave that to people who blow their knees out from medically being told they were sitting on the couch too much. Okay,
hey, man, yeah, it's dangerous out there. Be careful.
Some of us are really, really pushing the limits on our body. Okay. You're doing it in a different way. You can't eat a full English. When Arsene Wenger came in at halftime, they were eating beans on toast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Putting fried beans on toast, my guy. Are you trying to win by farting? Are you trying to win, dog?
No, the farts will accelerate and, yeah, you know, your pace.
Turbo boost, baby. I think the only one to really hold on to it was Wilshere, who was smoking cigarettes in the showers, you know, after the matches. He was the only one who really held
Where's
on
Wilshere
to
Where's Wilshere now? Is he at West
Probably
Ham?
Probably in a gurney. That dude oft injured.
He's at West Ham, I think. So, yeah, look, people can have that debate of, like, anybody would want Klopp right now. Nobody, you wouldn't be able to say no, but there is for those, you know, big teams.
If Everton was looking, so Everton is on the cusp of being a big team, always, perpetually top half, bottom of the top half of the
bro.
Of
the game, early right? 1900s were great for us. I mean, okay, why are you trying to erase our history, bro?
Put up a monument. If you look at Everton, right? Look at the players you have, right? You've got Iwobi, and you've got Walcott is probably on his way out.
The washed up Arsenal players, you could say it.
Yeah, you've got our secondhand players, and we suck. Right, you've got some pretty exciting players like Davies, and who's the dude? Callum, Calvert-Lewin.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Calvert-Lewin, right? You've got some young, exciting players, right? If you look, you don't have Asamoah Youngman anymore, right? What was his name? Asamoah?
Adamola Lookman.
Adama Lookman. Lookman. You don't have him anymore.
He's at Rebel Leipzig. I don't know if it was a loan or sold, but he's not at Everton right now.
But the point is, you've got young, exciting players. You take, but certainly you don't have a huge budget. Would you fare better in the next 3 years? And remember, that's when Mourinho usually wins with, regardless of what garbage you give him, right? Would you fare better if right now you hired Pep, Mourinho, or Klopp?
With the players that Everton has, I think they could do better with Klopp over Pep or Mourinho. Oh, you know what? Maybe they might be an all right Mourinho team. I'm trying to think.
They've got speed. They're pretty good on a counter.
Yeah, they just need. Look, ever since Lukaku left, there is no real world class striker up front. There isn't anyone you could, I'm not necessarily putting Lukaku on this pedestal, but the dude is good, right? Let's not be crazy. I know that Manchester United fans,
was at Everton.
Yes, they get mad at, he wasn't great. First touch this and whatever. At Manchester United, but Lukaku was an absolute baller for Everton, and he was the one of the few bright spots in arguably the last decade for Everton. So
some would say that he got the coaching job at the management job at Manchester United, but Moyes.
Oh, David. Yeah, yeah. So look, I think Mourinho might do all right, but again, the kind of confusion that he brings to any club.
Why would you pick Pep though?
Why wouldn't I pick Pep? I don't think Everton players are good enough, and I don't think Everton could bring in the quality of players that Pep requires.
That makes my point that Klopp is a better manager than Pep. Certainly can't be proven on stats alone. And if you look at the stats, yeah, Pep Guardiola is going to have more trophies. His trophy closet's more full. But who can take a player pool like Everton and make them better? Maybe not win the league good, but make them better. I think Klopp would have a better shot than Pep because Pep needs his players and his system. And Pep needs to manage a shit team. Right. Pep needs to go manage, Brighton or something, or do what Sheffield United did, take a bunch of players no one's ever heard of. And all of a sudden they're incredible on the ball.
I think you're being a little too dismissive of what Pep has done. And it's not easy.
Where? At Barca, Bayern, and Manchester City. Endless pool of money. Top of the league, each one. I mean, what he has never proven himself at a level other than the top.
It's still not easy to do that because you still are going up against incredible teams. Pep did have to go against Real Madrid and compete there. So it's not like it was just a given that he was successful sort of wherever he went because he had, the bankroll to do it. It's still hard to do that. So
yeah, but is that the same? Could Pep have taken over Liverpool? Liverpool didn't have a ton of money.
Liverpool has won they won the Premier League, they won Champions League once each. I mean, in Klopp's time. So I'm saying he is good, and he might be in the future. He might be better than Pep, or he might have a better career. I don't think so, because I think it's harder to do what Pep has done at several different clubs, even if it might have been, they had the money to do it, but it's harder to do what Pep has done in several different clubs in different countries than it is to do what Klopp is doing in these last 2 years. That is my argument.
If look what Klopp did to Jordan Henderson, turned him into not only the captain, but he's being considered for Premier League Player of the Year, and he's not even top five on his own team, okay? If if Pep Guardiola walks into a new team and Jordan Henderson is on there, I'll tell you what Jordan Henderson is doing by the end of the year. He's going to be the best groundsman, okay? He's going to be the number one groundsman on that crew. He is going to have all the gumption. He's going to be the captain of the grounds crew. He will be aerating that. He will be spreading that green sand so it doesn't look like there's a divot. The kid's going to have a big future in the grounds crew. He would not be playing soccer. He'd be in the champions championship.
And now
he wouldn't be in the Champions League.
I want to at least acknowledge Glenster in the chat who says Pep needs excellent players. Klopp needs excellent effort, which is I 100% agree with. Yeah.
Frankly, this whole segment could have been 30 seconds long if we would have just read that. We both could have shook hands and walked away.
They're both good at what they do. But again, I think if Manchester City plays Liverpool 10 times, I think Manchester City is winning more of those times.
I disagree.
But over time it changes, you know. I mean, whatever injuries and like adjusting to new styles of play and whatever, it is to be so concrete about like who is the better manager is there's a bigger conversation and it's a bit more nuanced than simply you know who is better right now. Pep has done incredible things that cannot be discounted. And even though Klopp is incredibly gifted and very talented, there's still a lot more left in his career to kind of figure out. Anyway,
I disagree. I will say I disagree because you can't take a trophy closet that was so heavily funded and managing the greatest teams and compare that to something like Klopp did, which is take a team that hasn't won in 30 years and turn them into quite possibly the most popular team in the world right now and what looks like are going to be a perpetual giant. And he could literally take anyone.
Well,
I hate
when like hasn't won in 30 years. Sure, but Liverpool is still one of the biggest brands in world football. And they've also won Champions League in 2006 or something like that? Or like they've won before. It's not like winning Champions League is not nothing. Just because, you know, I know Liverpool fans are like, oh, we haven't won the league in forever. But winning Champions League is a huge deal. And you can have the debate over what is more difficult, winning the Premier League or winning Champions League. That's a whole other conversation. But to be like,
the English care more about the league itself.
Yeah, which is fine. But to be like, my club has had no success. We've been, our hearts have been broken. We've been,
as they're polished, as they're European trophies behind them.
What are you talking about?
Me and me dad and me mom waited 30 years. Besides all the other parades we had, we wanted this specific parade.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing means anything unless we have that particular trophy. But whatever, you know, the diamond encrusted jewelry I'm holding here. Why are you paying attention to this? This is nothing.
I just thank God they didn't go undefeated, okay? Invincible is all Arsenal fans have left.
Okay. All right. Next up, you want to. So, yeah, you did mention Jordan Henderson and player of the year. So I think a lot of times people have a tough time giving the, you know, he has not won player of the year, but that is, people are talking about that he's going to.
That alone is the accomplishment.
Yeah, yeah.
He should get a printout of him being considered
for
player of the year. And that should be enough.
So Jordan Henderson, a lot of times, this is like when Luka Modric won the Ballon d'Or. A lot of times people have discomfort. And when you look at the stats and you see, you know, either Ronaldo or Messi with, you know, 70 goals for the year and then a midfielder with 4 goals and 7 assists or something wins the Ballon d'Or. People are like, what?
How was that league?
But look, there are things to the game that can't always be quantified. And that's, you know, why Luka Modric won the Ballon d'Or that year, and this seems like another example of that. If Jordan Henderson does win, it feels like, all right, well, the acknowledgement of like it's not just about goals and assists. It's a you know, either a defensive effort or defensive statistics and stuff like that. So
defensive work rate only should matter if you're the best defender on that team.
Okay.
And that clearly goes to Virgil van Dijk. Without a question, Virgil van Dijk is more important to Liverpool than Jordan Henderson is to the Henderson family, okay? I mean, if you take Virgil van Dijk off that Liverpool team, do they win the league?
Do they win? So they are up, what, 23 points at the moment?
No, I'm not saying if you take him off 2 weeks ago. If Virgil van Dijk never is on this team this year, maybe he gets an injury in the first game. He's not on the team. Do they win the league?
I think they win the league, but not by as much as – that's what the point I was going to make. They win the league, but not by as much as they're winning it by.
They don't win the league. They might finish top four. They may be finished top four.
Really?
They do not win the league. Okay, yeah, Virgil van Dijk is that important.
So
if Jordan Henderson disappears and decides to not show up ever this year, they win the league with the same resounding effect that they do now. And I know he's a great captain, and I know he has an incredible defensive work rate, but who gives a shit when
that's Alexis's logic. But who gives a shit?
Klopp is already a great leader. You don't need two great leaders. It's nice to have. If they don't put the cherry on your sundae, are you going to lose weight? No.
All right. Look, I'm an Everton fan, and I have to defend Jordan Henderson. This is ridiculous.
when Luka Modric won Ballon d'Or, he was undoubtedly the best midfielder in the game, especially the best midfielder in his position and doing what he does in the game that year. As some would say, probably going back maybe even a few years before, like he had deserved at least to get a nod 2 to 3 years before that. And you know how difficult that is for me to admit, because that man comes from Tottenham, okay? Mm. I don't want to give them any credit, you know? Jordan Henderson, name me another top five club that would want Jordan Henderson on them right now.
I think a lot of clubs would want. Where did he come from?
Would City want Jordan Henderson?
Would City want Jordan Henderson? I think he could fit. He can be the.
Not does he fit? Would they want
Fernandinho him? Role? Yeah, I think so. I think so.
You're out of your mind.
The British say you don't rate Henderson. Okay.
No, it's not great. How does he play along in that team? Fernandinho can at least pass the ball. Jordan Henderson, I mean, he's a doable passer, but I wouldn't say he's great with the ball at his feet at all.
Sure,
does he fit on City? No, like you got to look at the facts. Does he fit on City? City wouldn't pay if you gave him to free for City. They'd be like, all right, we'll take him. Right, he's a captain of a league winning team, but they're not going to pay $50 million for him. Right.
I agree. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know his value per se.
I mean, just look at the facts. Who are the top five teams? City, you got to take Liverpool out of there, right? Who else? Manchester United is on their way back, right?
Yes. I mean, maybe.
Don't want him. Chelsea? You know what? Maybe Chelsea, right? Because you could sort of surround him with people like
no, I don't think he's fast enough to play at Chelsea. Everybody's too fast. I mean, they have who's in the midfield really? Mason Mount, Jorginho.
He doesn't even fit in. He'd be a backup at Chelsea. Leicester City, are you out of your fucking mind? Brendan Rodgers would be like, do you understand what a pass even looks like?
All right. I can't have this debate of over you're like whether Jordan Henderson should even be allowed to lace up boots. He's a good player. I mean,
a good player. You said it yourself. Not player of the year.
He is, well, player of the year. Liverpool
player of the year.
I take it as similarly to like an MVP and in the NBA. It's not always the best player per se, but the most valuable player to their team that helped them succeed. You don't think it's Jordan Henderson, but I can understand why he might be in those conversations because of his incredible defensive work rate and leadership, and all these things also matter that you can't always find in the stat sheet.
That's what you're saying. Doesn't make sense. And here's why. He's not the best. He's not the best defender on his own team. So his defensive work rate doesn't put him at the top. Virgil van Dijk is. Virgil van Dijk deserves player of the year way more than he ever will.
Okay, I'm not arguing with that. But
so then why does he deserve player of the year? He's not even the best defender. He's not the best midfielder. And he's not even the best leader on his own team. That's the coach we all just basically verbally jerked off.
Because Liverpool won the league and they're currently 23 points ahead. And that does not happen accidentally. So, and without Jordan Henderson, that lead is probably not as that, you know, that point gap is probably not as large. Again, I'm not watching games. I'm watching Jordan Henderson.
Can't you put Wijnaldum in his position?
Wijnaldum,
great player.
He is good also, but I think he's more of an attacking midfielder than a defending midfielder. So
I don't know.
There would be issues there, in my opinion. Okay, so let's move on. All right,
Hold on. What is the final result? Do you think he deserves player of the year? Does he deserve to be in the conversation? You say yeah, because he's captain and he's a good leader?
Who deserves player of the year? I mean, it has to be somebody from Liverpool because of what they've managed to do this year. But no, I mean, for me, I think it has to be a Liverpool player. And for me, after, you know, I've watched several Liverpool games this year, I would feel more comfortable with either Virgil van Dijk or Sadio Mane to my, you know, if I have to pick
100%.
Between.
I was going to say, look, they don't cover the same ground because Henderson is a much more defensive player. Mm-hmm. Sadio Mane by far deserves it way more than Jordan Henderson.
I could see
that said, if it goes to anyone on that team not named Virgil van Dijk, a bit of a crime.
Okay. All right. I mean, look, I could care less what happens to Liverpool. So crime or not, give the player of the year award to Tom Davies. I don't know.
so apparently means nothing.
So who makes it into Europe? So, you know, there's a couple, seven games left in the Premier League season, for most of the teams, who makes it there? So obviously top four, or top two is obviously Liverpool, Manchester City. I don't think that will change.
But odds are they're probably going to win, right? No, I mean, Man City's banned. Liverpool might win. So then we're looking at positions 3 through 6.
Liverpool might win what? Oh, the Champions League. Okay, got it.
So we're looking at positions 3 through 6, maybe, right? Let's just say hypothetically that the ban stays and Liverpool wins. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at positions 3 through 6 for Champions League, 7th place for Europa. As it sits right now, that's Leicester City, Chelsea, Wolves, and United in Champions League, and you got Tottenham in Europa, right? Sheffield United nipping right at their buds at 44 points. Tottenham is at 45 points. Arsenal's sitting back at 43 points.
But I think you meant nipping at their heels when you're trying when you nip something in the bud that is like
get rid of it. Well, it was Tottenham I was thinking, so maybe we could just ruin the team. Can't we cancel Tottenham?
Okay. See, I said Liverpool lost the Champions League already. They're out. They lost to Atletico, remember? That's how long it's been.
Oh, my God, they did.
Yes, yes, yes.
Jeez, never mind.
Glenser, thank you for the update.
It's been so long, I forgot. I'm like, Liverpool's just going to win everything. All right, so we're looking at essentially position one. Wait, hold on. Isn't
who's still in? It's Manchester City.
Manchester City, but they're going to be banned anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Let's look at the Champions League standings. I don't even know.
I'll start by saying, can Arsenal get to 6th? Or as they say in England, 6th. I don't understand what's wrong with you. There's an X in there. You see it, right?
Okay. So I can't find this. I can't find who's left. Is it in the standings? No, this is a competition schedule. Because
Manchester City and Liverpool, and that looks like it, and Chelsea.
That who's left in in champion? Liverpool is not left. They lost.
No. Those were the teams that made it
into the knockout.
Yeah. Okay. So Atletico Madrid beat Liverpool, right? Tottenham lost to RB Leipzig, so they were out. Chelsea lost to Bayern in the first leg of the round of two. So I don't think they've played their second leg.
Correct, correct. Okay.
So there's a chance Chelsea's still in it. But look, so fine, let's just say Liverpool, so the top five have a shot, right? And then the sixth is going into Europa. So as it sits right now, Manchester United, right, is currently in the Europa position at 49 points. Wolves, 52 points in the fifth position. So they get in to Champions League, which is insane to think about. Wolves in Champions League. Shouts to third-party ownership.
Why third-party ownership?
Because that the whole team is made up the sketchiest possible way. I mean, they make PSG look like a bunch of choir boys. 54 points for Chelsea. Chelsea's clearly going to get in. I can't imagine.
I don't know. Don't say it's clear.
To me, I'm saying I can't see them slipping. Leicester City, I can't see them slipping. I'll admit it, dude. I really like watching Brendan Rodgers manage teams play. They're exciting, what they've been able to do, especially with a guy like Vardy. And then Liverpool, they're in, right?
Yeah.
So for Europa, it's Manchester United at 49 points. Arsenal being the closest possible that can maybe get there if they win out and everyone else loses at 43. I can't imagine they're going to make up a 6-point difference.
Not
to Manchester United.
I agree. I think the biggest shock right now is just, you know, seeing Arsenal in ninth and not being able to crack, essentially, you know, and not they don't need that many points to be essentially where Manchester United are. And the fact that they haven't been able to be there consistently is pretty nuts.
So when we're recording this on Monday, right? Currently, Manchester United is going to be playing Brighton tomorrow, right? So let's say Brighton is now all of a sudden this incredible friggin' team that can beat Arsenal, right? And do the double on Arsenal. If they beat Manchester United, right, that'll put Manchester United sort of in the same position. They'll remain in sixth place. You still need Tottenham to possibly win two to even catch up. So you need Manchester United to really slip. Sheffield United, I can't imagine, are going to go on a run, even though I really like the way they play, and I'd love to see them in a Europa competition, but they're actually playing Sheffield United on Thursday, right? I'm sorry, they're playing Tottenham on Thursday. So Tottenham versus Sheffield United.
Big game could essentially
dictate who gets into Europa. Arsenal's playing Wolves. So clearly we're going to lose, right?
Raul Jimenez has just been so fun this year, dude. And the level, who is it? It's Ruben Neves, Paulo Neto, like all these guys.
Neto's been incredible.
They all have at least one goal that could be like goal of the season, or they just have, of course.
Adama Traore.
Yeah, dude.
Just a beast of a human being.
Yeah, I've been playing FIFA Ultimate Team and people have him on the team. And as soon as I see the cards pop up and I see his and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. I guess we could triple team him? I don't know. What's the button to have someone hang on a man's shoulder?
I get so
What's
mad.
What's that button?
So
Manchester United is playing Bournemouth after they play Brighton. So, I mean, I don't want to say it's an easy run up for Manchester United, but it looks like unless Manchester United completely collapses, they're going to get into Europa. And I could see Tottenham slipping because I could see that Sheffield United match being a bit of a sort of a sneaky match for them. Yeah. A team that plays, that likes to pass the ball a lot. And then who do they have next after that? Tottenham plays Everton.
Yeah, and I want to that Robert from LA said, don't forget, man, Manchester United and Wolves are still in Europa League, so either of them could sneak into Champions League through the back door.
Great way to go in.
Okay.
The French style. So look, if Manchester United wins Europa League, they go into Champions League, which pushes everything back one.
Yeah, yeah. So look, there's still a lot that could happen, whether it's in the European competitions that the teams that are currently in or the results of the Premier League. But the fact that it's like a double, you know, relegation battle in, you know, when it comes to teams that are trying to get into Europe and the teams that are trying to not literally get relegated. So.
Thank you for fixing my window. Something happened. You froze a little bit, so I didn't hear what you said.
It's all good. You didn't miss anything, buddy.
Okay. I had all this belief when the restart happened that Arsenal was going to get back into at least a position for Europa or possibly Champions League. But I just with those two big losses to start the restart, I just can't imagine that there's a way that that happens.
Yeah, dude. We'll be back and we'll just there's a couple other things we're going to talk about and then we'll wrap up.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening to the episode. We just want to bring it with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, Gully Squad out in full force.
That's right, out. I mean, you mean in full force. We are staying inside.
we are outdoors spreading this disease.
That's what we do, Gully Squad. We cough in everyone's mouths,
but we're spreading gulliness, all right? None of that COVID nonsense.
Nah, dude, we're spreading COVID-69.
Okay, that's the fun one.
Yeah, dude, you didn't think you'd want it in the beginning, but when you get it, you're like, you know what, it's kind of fun.
So yes, shout out to Gully Squad, and for people who help support the show, help us put out more content. We've been doing a lot more stuff, especially on live streaming. They've been a part of it as well. We've been doing stuff on Twitch. It's been really, really fun. Even though we're stuck at home, we can still do some fun stuff and give, you know, whether it's exclusive content, a dope Slack channel, we're still putting out great work, and that's all because of Gully Squad.
Absolutely, and they support us, and we want to make sure that's we give them back some cool content, and also we want to make sure we find other people that want to come hang out in this Slack channel, because so far it is pretty lit. It's pretty awesome.
Exactly. So if you want to join Gully Squad, all you got to do is go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button. It's right there on the menu. It's at the top. It is at the bottom. Very visible, easy to find. And it's a great community. And there's also great perks, obviously. Gully Squad was invited to our birthday party. And how lit was that? I mean, they got to hang out with... Who are some of the folks they got to hang out with, Alexis?
I mean, it was a wild time that I'm kind of forgetting now because I drank so heavily. But we had Sal Volcano of the Impractical Jokers come through.
That's right.
Okay. That's right. The Impractical Jokers.
We had Alexi Lalas come through, who some say is a kind of a clown. Right.
Yeah, see? he's a less practical joker. He also serenaded us, right, with a guitar. Ellie Menjum of Derby Days and Copa 90 fame.
We had
Zach Valentin, Kyle Martino, Edson Buttle. Yes. I mean,
everybody was there. It was super, super fun. So those are some of the cool perks that come with being in Gully Squad. And we try to give everybody a really fun and unique experience that you may not be able to get everywhere else. If you, you know, just a casual soccer fan. So feel free to join. Again, you can subscribe at whatever level and whatever you want to give every month. And there's different, perks for the different levels as well. So make sure, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and come aboard.
Toot toot.
All right. So, yes, we are back.
We talked a little bit about whether Arsenal was going to make it back to the Champions League, which I don't believe they are. They're not even going to make it to Europa, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now here's the question, and this is important. Are Arsenal still considered a top club? Do you think the lack of success that they've had, and don't forget, you know, Unai Emery was fired this season, right? And Mikel Arteta was brought in midway through. Mm-hmm. Now, does this season being so reckless and horrific and a massive failure, does that change Arsenal from being a top club to a wannabe top club?
What do you define as a top club? Simply being in the top five, top six?
When you look at, I mean, there's really no way to define it besides which one do you like? If Wolves keep winning, they will be considered a top club. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, they're one of the clubs that people will want to shoot for.
Yeah.
They're the clubs that people want to play for. They're the clubs that can bring in big name players. Players will be like, yo, I want to play for Wolves one day. They might not be at that yet, but another 3 or 4 years of this type of success, They're one of the top clubs.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Arsenal is considered a top club, but are they really anymore?
I mean, if it's as simply as, you know, in the last like 4 or 5 years where I've been paying attention more to, you know, whatever, any transfer rumors or what players want to go where. And it just, it doesn't look like Arsenal is a club where people out from, you know, whatever, any transfer rumors or whatever, you just don't feel that same sense of like, oh man, I hope they want me to go there. you know, I don't.
You ain't wrong. That's a rough way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, that excitement about, like, you know,
it used to be like when an agent told you like, "Hey, Arsenal's interested," you'd be like, "Yes." Yeah. And now they're like, "Why?
Did I do something wrong?"
Yeah. I mean, I apologize already.
Am I being canceled? What's going on?
Was I late? What happened?
So it's unfortunate, because you know, a lot of people were. You know, I think the Premier League, especially these last couple years, we're going into. I wouldn't even necessarily say it is a transition of like who the big clubs are and who the small clubs are. But now the definition of a big club is sort of changing, because it used to be just they had the most money, they can get the most players, and now it's like, well, now a lot of people have money, so. That isn't going to be the thing that differentiates teams enough, and you're seeing it. Just the fact that look, I mean, Leicester City's in third place, and obviously Leicester City won the Premier League a couple of years ago.
They're not a top club.
And the fact, look, I mean, the biggest surprises or the teams that when you look at the table and you're like, whoa, how'd they get in here? Obviously, Leicester City, the Wolves, and Sheffield United. Essentially being in the top 10 with those other clubs, it's like, okay, well, things are going to be a little bit different. Now it's not any, you know, it used to be top 4. Now then it was top 6. And now it's really feeling like the gap.
Who you got?
Yeah. The gap between, you know, realistically 3 and 10 is not that big anymore. Now it's like, it's obviously, yeah, the definition of it is just feeling like, oh, these teams have to do a little bit more to stand out, and those little changes, those minor details, are what's going to be able to get you into essentially Champions League or not making it into European competition at all.
Like, look, I am a massive Arsenal fan. Part of the reason why I was even introduced to Arsenal, why I was able to become an Arsenal fan, is because they were so important in the 90s that as a kid, when it was on, that was one of the teams that came on in America. America, for all intents and purposes, as a marketing piece, could give a fuck about soccer at that point. The numbers just weren't big enough. But Arsenal was such an exciting and such an important team to watch that they played it even though there wasn't enough fans here. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That would not be happening today. That would be happening more with Wolves, to be completely honest. As an Arsenal fan, I can sit back and say, Wolves, if how the 90s were today, where only two or three teams were shown on tape delay, your City would get on there, Liverpool would get on there, Manchester United is a big enough name where that probably would get on there. Arsenal maybe, but I bet you more people would be interested in watching Wolves play than Arsenal play this season. It's one season, though, and I know that we've had an array of mediocrity, right? We've had a long run of mediocre, maybe a couple FA Cup wins. But other than that, really nothing to really show for it in the league. But this season, if we don't make it back into Europe, even Europa, for fuck's sake, that's really not that. It's important, but it really, I mean, we're what? Baku? We're losing against...
you were in the Europa League final, lost to Chelsea. It's not the worst.
I'm talking about this year, this season.
Oh, okay.
Baku, I can't remember what are we talking about? What was the team's name? Like Quadricept? There's an odd name for cataract surgery beat us in the middle of nowhere. Like when you look at that, that knocks you down a peg. Now, are we a bigger club than Leicester? Without a doubt, right? You would admit that.
Yes, without a doubt. But I mean, not.
Are we a bigger club than Wolves? Yes.
Yes, yes.
Without a doubt. Are we a bigger club than Sheffield United? Yes. Mm-hmm. Are we a bigger club than Tottenham?
No. Not right now.
I think because of.
Only
because of our past success. That's the only reason why I would say yes.
Sure. I mean, but the times are changing, Alexis. You got to get those results. It can't be. I generally hate.
I agree with you, which is why I'm even bringing Tottenham into the conversation because.
But this is.
I think they're bigger than us at the moment. But we are still a bigger club.
This is why. Look, I think our show should try to differentiate itself from the typical and traditional. Forms of debates that are happening in England and whatever. And
we've already said the word soccer six times.
Yeah.
So I think we've
but one of them is my club is bigger than yours, mate. Whatever. Bigger, bigger, bigger. I always hear this fucking word and I do not give a shit about it. This is a dick measuring contest with Premier League teams.
Yeah, you have already said you're an Everton fan. You don't have to prove it by saying you don't want to hear about bigger clubs.
Okay. All right. Some of us are the micro penis of Premier League teams.
But we know how to work it. Okay. We get down there with our tongues a little bit. You know what I mean?
There's other things you could do. Is what I'm saying. But this
look how long these fingers are. We'll make it work.
So it's whatever. Like there's more nuanced debate than whether the club is bigger or not. Like what we do know for sure is that Arsenal is losing a lot, and they don't have the chemistry that they once did. But neither do Tottenham. Tottenham do not look great either. I still don't really understand why they got rid of Mauricio Pochettino. So that's whatever. That's a whole other conversation. But when it comes to big clubs. All these clubs are not big clubs sort of anymore, or that isn't enough to slap on the resume to be like, all right, if I'm a player and I want to go play for them, oh, they're a big club. No, that's not enough. They need more than that. They need a good manager. They need an environment and a culture that breeds success. And a lot of these teams that normally did that are being sort of outclassed by these quote unquote smaller teams that have figured something out as far as building chemistry and how to find success in the Premier League.
Okay. So I think Arsenal is still a big club, right? But I will admit that that bigness is becoming eroded, right? But I wouldn't go so far as to say they're a big dub. You see what I did there? They're a big club, not a big dub.
Okay.
But I know you hate the question, but just patronize me for one moment. Who do you think is the biggest club in Premier League this year? But right now, who has the right to say they are the biggest club?
And what are the metrics to being a big club? Answer
it's
that.
It's almost like trying to answer the difference between art and porn. I don't know, but one costs way more than the other, and it probably should be the other way. Right? It's the I know when I see it, right?
Yeah.
Like, what is the biggest club in the Premier League? And not just for this year. I mean, right now, if you had to say the biggest club in the Premier League is who? A lot of people will say Manchester United because of the history, because of the system, because of the academy, because of everything that goes along with being Manchester United. The name, the passion of wearing the badge, the whole nine, yada, yada, yada. Okay? All that. A lot of people will say, well, hold on. Liverpool won a shit ton back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back. We're back to winning ways. Some people say, hold up, Manchester City. Like, bruh. We took a break from winning. You lucky we took a break from winning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've got clubs all over the world. We've got a whole system, right? We've got the whole thing figured out. We're the biggest. Who is the biggest club in the Premier League?
I mean, look, I'll answer this, but I don't think it means anything. And I think this question is a waste of time, in my honest opinion. But a biggest club in my mind, that is biggest fanfare, biggest sort of global recognition, success on the pitch. And when it comes to that, I feel like it's probably Manchester United. I don't know. Biggest club. If you factor in all those things, I think Manchester United well, is probably that if you are the biggest club. But look, clearly the most the successful and popular club in the Premier League this year, whether it's, you know, seeing all the storylines, the interviews from Jurgen Klopp or whatever, Liverpool probably get it this year if the title of biggest club and they would get to raise that. But but overall, I mean, Manchester United is just too many people. There's too many Manchester United fans to kind of discount that.
I think it's still City.
Nah.
I think it's City. I know that they came out of nowhere and everyone says they don't have any real fans. But if you ask, and maybe it's Liverpool if I make this point, but if you were to ask all of the biggest prospects, if you were to put the same contract, Liverpool sends you one, Manchester United sends you one, Manchester City sends you one, and just for banter, let's say Chelsea sends you the exact same contract, who would you want to play for? Manchester United as well, by the way, just to, for your point. I don't know if I mentioned their name. So you got Manchester City, Manchester United, Liverpool, and Chelsea. Send you the exact same contract. You're a massive prospect. Who do you think, if you – the top 100 prospects, who do you think they would say they'd want to play for? I don't think Manchester United wins that. And I think that is the defining way how you say – that's the biggest club.
Yeah, but who
is by who
are you asking that question to? Because when
the top 100 prospects.
Okay, but so I'm saying, but Bruno Fernandes is a prime example of he got an offer from Manchester United and he's like, this is my, I've always wanted to play for Manchester United. So he, you know, there's more factors than simply, am I going to go play for the biggest club? So
I'm not asking you, am I going to go play for the biggest club? If I gave the same contract from those four clubs to all of the top 100 prospects, who do you think most of them would want to play for?
The team or manager or what?
No, all of that, because the contract is to go play for that team. If you gave the same contract for Manchester United,
yes. Oh, right. So Man City, I think Man City because of Pep. So that's my opinion. Chelsea.
Wait, you froze. So what did you say?
I said Man City because of Pep.
That's why I think they're the biggest club in England.
All right.
Because I think more people would want to play for them.
Fine. I could care less. You keep saying big club. I don't give a shit about big club.
That's why I had to ask the question.
I mean, like, you're trying to convince me of something. It's like where I don't even want to have the debate about it. Fine. I mean, that's biggest club, fine. Be whatever. Smallest club, tiny club, whatever. You know what they are? They're, outside of Liverpool, they're all losers, okay? They're definitely that.
I mean, that's not true because there are other competitions. Fine.
Okay. So, all right. The last thing I wanted to talk about was the relegation battle. Obviously, Bournemouth, Villa, and Norwich City are in there. Norwich looking like they definitely will be relegated. But 19, 18, and 17 are all on 27 points. Watford has 28. So outside of pretty much everyone beneath Brighton and Norwich are looking like literally anything could happen. So who do you think stays up?
I think Watford is staying up. I know they're right within that window. I think Brighton, based on that win, depending on what they do in the next game, will tell you if they're staying up or not. Newcastle kind of gotta. I mean, they're way ahead anyway, so fuck that. I can't imagine Norwich makes it out of it. I can't imagine Villa makes it out of it, which is such a shame because, you know, Villa just got back up. But, yo, you know who needs, I think, relegation right now? Is West Ham.
Okay.
I think West Ham needs it, dog. They need a complete rebuild. They need to rethink what they're doing. I can't believe they got rid of Bowling Ground. I can't believe that they switched to Wembley. There's no fans in there, but when there were fans in there, it sucked. West Ham fans are, for the most part, from everyone I know, some pretty great folks, you know what I mean, that I've met. These are folks that have been around Premier League for a long-ass time, and they're just kind of middling. Like, as an Arsenal fan, I look at West Ham, I'm like, it could be worse, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, West Ham just, like, give me three players you'd want off of West Ham right now. You probably couldn't, and you're an Everton fan.
No, West Ham have been very disappointing this season. Yeah, I think so. I think going down might kind of maybe re-energize them and give them a new sense of purpose. But
if you're their fans, you're thinking this is the worst. I hate you. Don't say that. They don't. They shouldn't go down. It clearly didn't help Villa that much. But when I look at West Ham, it's like, yo, West Ham needs a new direction, man. Like West Ham needs, they need their own Klopp. They need their own Arteta. And I know Arteta's new, but like Arteta already has the feeling like he's going to be there for 20 years. You get what I'm saying?
Who's like, is it still Pellegrini is the manager there?
I believe so. Yeah. I mean, wow. Right. From the success that he's had to this.
I mean, that happens. I mean, look, Pep was going to, you know, there wasn't any, he wasn't going to challenge Pep for that job. Pep was going to go wherever he wanted to go.
Dude, they need to bring in Sam Allardyce if they want to stay up. That's the dude. It's the only dude who's going to save you from relegation.
The Villa has been a bit surprising as well because they did play pretty well in the championship. They won, obviously, the playoff to get into the Premier League. But the Villa's a weird team where I'm like, I don't know what it is about Aston Villa. I just don't like Aston Villa. I don't know if it's the colors. I don't know what.
There's something about it, right?
I just don't.
There's like, you can do whatever you want. I'm still not going to like him. Like, even Jack Grealish, as great of a player he is, I'm like, I don't like him in that shirt, though.
It's just, I can't. I wish I could explain why I don't like Aston Villa. I don't know.
Isn't Grimsey? Grimsey's a Villa
Right? Jack Grimsey is. I mean, also, isn't it Prince Harry? Who is it?
Oh, who gives a shit?
One of them are big Villa fans.
Pretend my
William? Was it William? I don't know.
Who cares?
But Bournemouth, especially, they've been in the Premier League for what? I think 5 years, 6 years now.
I couldn't name you two things about Bournemouth. I mean, just
Eddie Howe, the manager, he's great. You know, ever since they went up,
Aki, right? They got that kid Aki, something like that. The defender with the dreads.
Yes, yes. From is it Nathan Ake? I believe he came from Chelsea. It was just a great story. Obviously, they don't spend a lot of money, but they were able to maintain and stay in the Premier League for as long as they have with the little resources that they have. So that's pretty impressive. And so them going down would be a bit of a bummer, especially because Eddie Howe has been sort. There have been rumors that he's going to leave and go to a quote unquote bigger club.
Don't say that around Christian. He's going to bite your neck off.
Them getting relegated would just be
a big club now.
So that would be the biggest like bummer, at least for me, just because I've seen so many like mini docu-series that they've done on Bournemouth, and they seem to have a really good story. And Eddie Howe seems like a good dude. So I think West Ham, Villa, and Norwich are the ones that get relegated. I think that swap. I don't think West Ham is gonna make it. They probably have the skill to survive, but I think Bournemouth is gonna make it.
And I know the only reason I think relegation is even that big of a deal right now is besides the fact that the first Cuban player is playing for Norwich, right?
Yeah.
So it's exciting, and I do like the way Norwich plays. I just don't think they have enough players for the Premier League, but or enough skilled players, I should say.
Yeah, they're playing with nine players all the time. I'm like, well, yo, hire a couple more dudes.
I feel like, I don't know, maybe just ask someone from the stands. You know, I mean, you need 11. But when I look at the teams that are going to be relegated, the first thing that pops up is, where's Jack Grealish going to go? That's the important subject.
Yeah, he's staying in the Prem for sure.
Oh, yeah. And he's definitely going to go to a big club. I know Arsenal was considering signing him. It looks like Manchester United are going to get the job done. But even City was rumored. Like, Jack Grealish really could just pick anyone he wants right now.
I don't know. I don't know about that, because I feel like he's definitely good. I still have, you know, has some maturity issues. He doesn't like to stay home during lockdowns. Wants to hang out with his friends. But he is Grealish. Loan to Villa, or he is a Villa player.
No, he is a Villa player.
Okay, I'm thinking of the other dude, who's a Liverpool player that is at Bournemouth. The other young kid, I forgot his name, but Yeah, I don't know where he goes. Do you want? Would you want him at Arsenal? What do you think? I honestly, I don't think he's good. I don't think he's great. That's my opinion on Grealish.
I think he's an attacking midfielder. He's a winger. You know what I mean? And players like that always kind of fit in well at a club like Arsenal, you know, especially if he has the ability to cut in. But I wouldn't spend the money that they're asking. I think the last number was somewhere in line with like 70 million, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. If that's the number that they're considering, then no, I don't think he's worth it for Arsenal. I think we have enough English players where that's not even a question. That's not an issue, like to make sure that we have enough English, although he's Irish, actually, Jack Grealish. So, Yeah, he plays for the Irish national team.
Oh, I did not know that.
He might be able to pick United Kingdom because he was born in Birmingham.
Okay, it says Jack Grealish is an English footballer. I don't know why. Where are you getting that he's Irish?
He played for the Ireland youth setup. He played for the U17s, the 18s, and the 21s.
He did switch
to England for U21. Never mind. So yeah,
got it. Okay.
So look, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Jack Grealish, incredible player. I don't necessarily think I want him at Arsenal or need him at Arsenal. I would like to have him for sure. But when I see Jack Grealish, he screams Manchester United to me, you know? English guy, slick back hair, good looking. The girls love him. The boys want the haircut. You know, he makes a couple of mistakes. But hey, it's all right because I have this accent. You know, he's kind of like a mix of like just appeal-wise of Rooney and Beckham.
Are you trying to say that Rooney and Beckham are similar in appeal? What are you saying?
No, because he has the bad boy-ness of a Rooney, but he's got the looks of a Beckham.
I'm not saying Rooney is like unattractive, but Rooney did not.
Oh no, I'll say he's unattractive. For Rooney. He has the bad boy appeal.
I don't know. Please, if anyone, let us know if they even know anyone who was
have you ever met
attracted to Wayne Rooney's bad boy appeal.
No, not even his bad boy appeal. He was a bad boy, and you know, like they like that shit in England.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
He's out here shagging grandma. You know what I mean? He's driving with PR people in his car at 2 a.m. saying, "I don't know what you're talking about. She was giving me a ride. She's a good friend." You know. And when I offered to give her a ride as well, I also meant car.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, yes.
Like the guy, you know, he's whatever, you know, he's a bit of a bad boy. Like, but that, like, you know, tabloid-ish, and he's like, a lad, you know?
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Grealish is a lad. Gorgeous Beckham. And again, we met Beckham. We looked into his eyes with our eyes. And all I can tell you is I remember everything, and yet I remember nothing from that moment.
I'm glad you clarified that you looked into his eyes with your eyes, because yeah. Who knows what you could have used.
Well, I was offering more.
I don't know. I'll be honest. I'm just not a huge fan of Jack Grealish. I don't think he's going to I think he still has a lot to figure out. And he's not as consistent as I think a lot of people would like him to be. What'd you say?
Your camera is shaking like crazy.
Oh,
is there an earthquake?
I was shaking my leg. Sorry.
Okay. Whatchamacallit? All right. Let's get to our last question. This is our last question. I put, we do have two more, but let's just get to this. How far will Wolves get in the Champions League? I actually have a better question. Who do you think will do better in Champions League next year? Leicester or Wolves?
Wolves.
Great question. All right. Well, that's it for the show, folks. Thanks for coming.
Done.
Why?
Peace out, everybody.
How do you think?
Why
you answer this?
I think Wolves have been. I don't know. I mean, I think Leicester, especially this time of the year, or towards the end of the season, they just. I don't know. It's tough. As far as like cup competition or the league, I mean, Leicester is in third and they definitely have earned that. I'm not taking anything away from that. But I think who's sort of hot right now, and then when we talk about, you know, a cup competition, I think Wolves are on the verge of something bigger than what Leicester are doing right now. They're only 3 points back in the league. And you know, come next week or 2 weeks, we could be talking about Wolves being in third place and Leicester being in fifth. So
Very easily, yeah.
They've looked great, especially since the Premier League started back up. Wolves look better than Leicester, in my opinion, in the Premier League. So I think that will lead to better results in the Champions League next year. But with that said, they're both going to not get very far. They may maybe make it out of the group, but they're not getting very far in general.
I think here's why I'll say Wolves as well, is because I think Leicester plays with great players. Don't get me wrong. They play a similar style to a lot of clubs that they're going to face in Champions League. You know, it's a very pass heavy, a bit more direct than a Pep Guardiola style system, but nonetheless, it's a lot of passing. It's a lot of trying to confuse the defenders. And, you know, every once in a while, they do like to go a little long, and they just so happen to have Vardy there, who is perfect for that, right? And what is the guy? He has, like, what, 2 cups of coffee and 3 Red Bulls before every game? Something crazy like that? Like, as a maniac, you know? Sure. I don't know how is his heart still in his body, you know?
It's like if they tell, like, a cocaine user, like, you can't use cocaine anymore. He's like, all right, I got to find alternatives.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, order me a case of Red Bull for this morning. How else am I supposed to make it through this meeting? So I think Wolves just have, there's something special. There's something different about them. Like, you even said it yourself. Like, when if you could take out Jimenez, right? And let's say you find a way to cover him where you make him less effective. They've got 3 or 4 other players that are now just as dangerous, or can be the lead, quote unquote. They are a relatively stacked team. I'm interested to see whether Wolves can up the ante, can find a bit more players of this ilk. You know, they've essentially been massaging the rules a bit to get this agent's players all on this team, right?
From Portugal.
Yeah. So like the agent is now like an important figure at the club, and they're like, all right, we didn't hire you for your knowledge. We hired you for that Rolodex. So spin that bad boy up and get them folks in here. And it worked, right? They got some incredible players in, right? That said, how much more does he have? How much more? I mean, look, players are going to want to play for Wolves, but can they get, you know, some more armament? You know, if you're listening, because it's kind of freezing right now, but if it's not and you can hear me, I'm interested to see whether Wolves can get more and become a better team, which they will need to in order to have any success in Champions League, at least to get out of the group stage.
If they make it to Champions League, they're in the running for at least one or two good, very good players, or, you know, they
also the level of a Raul Jimenez, who, you know, wasn't at the top of everyone's list, clearly an incredible player and deserves to play in Premier League, but you know they don't like us out here in this hemisphere unless you're Argentinian. They don't fuck with Mexican players like that in Premier League. Well, maybe they're starting to now.
He's making people, they're changing their thoughts on that. So,
right, Chicharito ruined it for everybody. But can they find more players at that level? I'm interested to see how that happens. And yo, if they could come ready and equipped, Wolves are going to be a really exciting team, Champions League next year.
I agree. Okay, so we talk to some of the people in the chat. So I know some people have been asking stuff. So let's go through. I'll go essentially from the bottom. Minifornia. So I'm assuming that's a Minnesota and California combination. I think a better...
Wow, I'm really surprised you kind of figured that out, because I'm staring at that like, I don't know what that means.
I think a better metric for biggest club would be if these 4 clubs were playing a tourney and you went to every country in the world and asked 10 people who they'd root for, who would get the most support. Yeah, we need to have like a focus group to figure out who are the biggest clubs.
Who's that guy that always does the Vice videos? He has like a bad toupee where he gets like 10 Republicans, like 10 Trump voters in a room.
Yes, yes.
He's like a famous market research guy.
Yeah, what's his...
Let's get that guy to figure out.
Yeah, what's his name? I forgot his name. I've seen him on a bunch of stuff. But yeah, he's kind of a douche, but like he kind of gets results, you know? So
yeah, I mean, he's only a douche because he has to remain completely unbiased.
Yeah.
So his questions are like, I'm not going to stop asking you until you give me an answer. But
But I don't think he's unbiased. I think he's like a super Republican dude.
Is he? I didn't know.
I think he is.
Only seen like two or three of his videos. Robert from LA said, when Arsenal stop getting into Europe, you can have that debate. For now, the answer is yes, they are a top club. All right. I think that's a good point. But is there much of a debate if they get out of Europe? I think once they get out of Europe, are you still a top club? Manchester United proved, yes, you can be, right?
Yeah, but
I'm sure it's going to take a long time. Arsenal are going to have to collapse financially before they're not considered a top club, because they have just so much. There is a lore because of their past success, but there's so much of an organization there.
Yeah, well, it's just like, look, if Arsenal go on to win the FA Cup, Arsenal fans won't be happy. It's just nothing's enough. Nothing's enough for you guys.
No, we'll be happy that we won something.
Yeah.
But it's not enough.
It's very much not enough. So, E. McNally says, do you even read the chat? We do. Today we were not, because we were doing this in particular, but please do not hold it against us. So we're doing it now. Who wins the Ballon d'Or this year? It's a good question. Who do you think wins it? There haven't been standouts. It's difficult to not give it to Messi all the time because he's just unbelievable.
Let's say Messi, clearly Ronaldo's not going to be a part of the conversation.
No.
But let's say Messi is not in the conversation. If Messi's not in the conversation, who deserves a Ballon d'Or? Virgil van Dijk, probably still.
Yeah. I mean, he was one of the finalists last year, I believe.
Yeah.
I could see him taking it this time around. If
Jordan Henderson. No.
It's gonna be, I don't know who it's gonna be, but all the time it's easy to just say Messi because of what he does, you know, every week. But like ever since the return, the Ballon d'Or is for the year, right? It's not the season. So it's like the end of last season and the beginning of the next the calendar year. Right. So I could see in that sense the beginning of this year for Virgil van Dijk was phenomenal. You know, from a defender's perspective. Lewandowski also. Yeah, he's been unreal.
Absolutely. It's just the only problem I have with Lewandowski is that he's in Bundesliga, which, as much as I love Bundesliga, being at Bayern is like almost being in your own league. It's the PSG, and I know it's been harder this year, but still, I mean, you're at PSG essentially. You know what I mean? It's really hard to rate that. You almost need to win Champions League in order for me to really believe you're that great of a club. If you're in Bundesliga,
that's fair. But what Lewandowski's doing is not easy, even in the Bundesliga. Just for one particular guy, how many goals does he have? 31 or something like that.
I could see Haaland getting at least some talk of being included in that because of how dominant he is.
Yeah, but he also came from Salzburg and so he's not up for consideration necessarily. No. But yeah, Lewandowski or Messi, I think it's going to be one of them.
Absolutely.
My opinion.
Who asked? I just saw the name pop up. If we're paying attention, who do we think is getting promoted from the championship? That's from Robert from LA.
Leeds, baby.
I'm really excited to see.
You saw
Jack Harrison.
You saw his goal the other day?
Beast of a goal.
Dude, it's been great. If you haven't seen our interview with Jack Harrison, it's on our YouTube channel.
Not just an interview, baby. We named a burger after him here in New York.
It was a live podcast that we did. It's one of our proudest moments. It's like our first live event that we ever did, and it was super, super fun. And a bunch of like NYCFC fans and just soccer fans in general were there. So check that out, please. Go to I should just put the link in the chat.
The chat, yeah, do that.
Okay.
If you look at the Leeds is clearly going. They're in first place, 74 points. West Brom look like they're going to get up at 71 points. The real question is going to be between Brentford, Nottingham Forest, and Fulham in this sort of battle for the third position. Then they're at 66 points for Brentford, 64 and 64 for Fulham and Nottingham Forest. Just for the fact that they've not been in the Prem for a very long time, I'd love to see Nottingham Forest go up. Darby isn't going to make it. Preston is. And I love Preston's badge, dude. Preston North End. But they're not going to make it. Cardiff City, I don't think, are going to get back up.
Alexis, we lost you.
I'd be interested in looking at some of the next upcoming matches. And Brentford is playing Reading and Wigan, which is going to be two not easy matches, but two relatively easy matches. And then Charlton. Nottingham Forest actually has to play Fulham in about 2 weeks. So it's going to be fun. But I can.
How many games are left in the championship?
It looks like there's seven weeks left.
They play more than 38 games. They play like 42, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, well, you know what? This is all messed up because the dates are on different. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's definitely more.
Like the rounds are all messed up, you know, because the people are playing like three a week at some point.
Yeah, they play. There's definitely more matches or whatever. But yeah, I hope. Obviously, we're rooting for Leeds. I just put in the chat our YouTube link for our interview with Jack Harrison. Really, really fun. If you haven't checked it out, please do so. And please subscribe to our YouTube channel. I think we're like three away from 3,000 subscribers.
Yeah, no, we've never really focused on it, but we've been trying to put more clips up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, follow, like, subscribe, and hit that notification button. Smash that subscribe button.
So the look, we're definitely Leeds stands right now. It'd be so dope to see Jack Harrison in the Premier League. It's
I would love to see Jack Harrison lose to Arsenal in the Premier League. Also Bielsa, dude.
He did, but he already did lose to Arsenal in the FA Cup.
I know, but it'll be fun to watch it happen twice. But yo, Bielsa, who is the guy who taught my favorite coach, Sampaoli, how to manage. It'd be fun to just see Bielsa, the press conferences. Dude, Bielsa versus Mourinho. Damn, it's going to be fun next season.
I agree. So I hope it happens. And Leeds has been very entertaining this year. Jack, in particular, is the leading assist. He has the most assists on the team this season. So, again,
having an incredible year,
dude. He's a kid. He went from, you know, left the Manchester United Academy, came to the U.S. to go to school.
Berkshire
Academy. Went to Wake Forest for 1 year. Gets the number one pick in the MLS Super Draft. Gets traded to NYCFC. Coaches Patrick Vieira. He is a stud. He's playing super, super well. And then gets sold to Manchester City. And then loaned to Leeds. And now he's out here flexing with mega tight pants on Instagram. So you love to see
it. Yeah, he went full Dominican. Okay. It's a little too much time in the Bronx.
All right. Look, I like to think it was some of my influence. All right. Super cool. All right.
Good thing you took it easy on them burgers. I got one more question. This is from Boston Nick. He said, all the stupid hashtag Heath out Minnesota United fans want Adrian Heath at the helm of Everton. What are your thoughts, Christian? Adrian Heath to supplant one of the most decorated managers in the history of the game, Ancelotti.
Look, I'll say I'm fine with the idea and even the discussion, but I think Carlo Ancelotti has not done anything yet at Everton. I don't think he's instilled any strong kind of philosophy. I don't think, you know, we see how he's been kind of handled Moise Keane. I don't know who to blame more. Is that on Moise Keane? Is that on Ancelotti? Like, you sort of expect more from him. And I don't know if it's going to take, again, it's just going to take some time. You know, he hasn't even had a full year or a transfer window. So at the moment, I'm fine with any discussion of, like, Adrian Heath. Obviously, is a Everton legend. I could see him there one day. I don't know. He would have to do really, really well in Minnesota to gain that kind of trust.
Which he has kind of turned Minnesota around. Like, when he first got to Minnesota, I was like, he's not going to last very long. He sucked at Orlando City. He's going to suck here. He's been proven to me that he's a much, much more of a better, he's a much better coach than I expected. That said, do you think, because I don't follow Everton as closely as you do you think the Ancelotti sort of essence will be sprinkled onto Everton more in the offseason? Do you think he'll be able to get more of what he's looking out of the team? He'll be able to maybe get some players in that he knows, get a system in, put in place? Or do you think this is what you're going to get?
No, they need players. I mean,
I mean, I don't know. When I think of any particular players, nobody stands out as like, oh, this guy's going to be perfect for Carlo Ancelotti. I mean, I think up front, that's where I have the most comfort. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, when he's, you know, started playing more games, I didn't know exactly what to expect, but I think he can become I don't want to say Harry Kane, but he's like that type of player. He doesn't have the same skill from like, he can't shoot from farther out, but he's like, as far as like a bit of a poacher, I think he could be that. And I think he can do it well, but outside of that, I don't know who sort of stands out as like, yo, him and Ancelotti are going to get along perfectly. I think Everton have to have a lot to figure out. And yeah, where is Theo Walcott going to fit in? Where is Iwobi going to fit in? They just got rid of Morgan Schneiderlin, who that was supposed to be a big signing coming from Manchester United. And that didn't work out. Gylfi Sigurdsson, is he the architect that Everton need in the middle? And he barely touches the ball, and he barely makes really like effective passes that move the game forward. So I think Everton need, whoever Ancelotti's going to get is going to they need a midfielder that can control the game. That's I think the big issue. They lost Idrissa Gueye, who went to PSG, and he was our like N'Golo Kante. And he was good on the ball, was incredibly a great defender, and he was kind of represented that same like work rate and effort that Evertonians sort of expect.
And also, he was really good at being able to switch from a defensive to offensive mindset.
Yes.
He was able to spring that offense very, very well.
I honestly think things got worse when Gylfi Sigurdsson signed, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Which is so shocking to say, because at the time we thought this was a coup for Everton.
Nah,
you know,
man. Yeah, he has not been great. So they got to figure that out. So I hope they do. Up the toffees, let's go.
So what did we figure out today? Arsenal are the biggest club of all. Klopp deserves Player of the Year, and Gylfi Sigurdsson is Goat of the Week.
Correct.
Donkey of the Week.
Okay. So everybody, thanks again for hanging out with us on Twitch. Shout out to you. Thank you for your questions. And so this show will also, like we said before, will be a podcast. You can listen to the Cooligans podcast every single Wednesday, wherever you get your podcast. So please subscribe. Feel free to also leave a review on iTunes. And you know what? I'm going to leave the link for that as well on the chat. So we're always trying to get more reviews and just to climb up the iTunes charts, and you can just click on that link right there, and please leave a review. That it would be very helpful. It helps more people hear about the show, the podcast, the TV show, everything. It's all one big thing.
We're one happy unit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So anything else, Alexis, that we need to wrap up with? What do you think?
That's it. We got to do a Mad Questions.
We do got to do a Mad Questions. Yeah. So that also will be for our Gully Squad members and also the people in the chat. Obviously, the Gully Squad members get to ask the questions first, and we prioritize those. And if you'd like to join Gully Squad, feel free to do that right at this link right there. And
I got that.
It's fuacata.com. no, is that? So we're going to be doing another one of those real soon. So make sure you tune in. And make sure if you're not following us on Twitch, please do so. And let people know that you like this Twitch channel and you think other people should follow it. All right.
So follow us on social media so you can see the where that's where we're going to ask you to ask the questions. So we'll put it up on Twitter, we'll put it up on Instagram for you guys to send us questions for us to answer on Mad Questions. So whatever, it doesn't even have to be. We almost, for Mad Questions, we almost try to not even make it about soccer. It's about other stuff. You know, like we asked, somebody asked a question that got such a reaction once we put the clip up. Well, who would win in a fight, chopped cheese from New York or a Philly cheesesteak? Which was an incredible question. And we answered that it was chopped cheese, and all hell broke loose. And I don't think we're welcome in Philly anymore. We're in South Jersey. But any questions you guys have, anything at all, would you rather, all those, send it to us. But we'll post it. The only way you're going to know that we posted is if you follow us on Instagram and or Twitter.
Correct. All right.
Which is all down below.
So, everybody, thank you again for hanging out. Thank you for listening to the show. So, with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!